Good morning. Welcome to Burlington County Based Managers Program of Finance Assurance. Wanted to have Rav Sacks give share this morning on topic of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. This morning's sponsor is the Feigenbaum and Shmata families in memory of Aaron Ben Yitzchak Zochrein Livracha. That's the cover girl of Rav Sacks.
Began discussing the last year various aspects of the mitzvah of Vasli Mikdash Peshachanti B'Solchan, the mitzvah of Binyan HaMishkan, and the mitzvah of the Dor HaSav, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. When you look at these particular parshios, you would expect that the Torah simply should provide us with a blueprint of the Mishkan itself. If you want to know details regarding the Avoda, one would think that you don't look in these parshios, but rather later parshios will tell us insight into Avoda. If you want to know, for example, details of Hakrevas HaKarbanos, you don't look at these parshios, but rather you will look in Sefer Vayikra. And what is so much striking is the following, that even though, no doubt, these are parshios of Binyan HaMishkan, but nonetheless, you do find that the Torah mentions various aspects of the Avoda itself. The Torah tells us, for example, in Parshas Truma, that you're obligated to build a Shulchan, Vasisa Shulchan, what do you do with it? The Torah tells us that there is a mitzvah of Lechem Hapanim. The Torah tells us in Parshas Tetzava, for example, that you're obligated to make the Mizbach HaKtores, but then the Torah adds, and its purpose is in order to offer the Ktores. So a very simple question, that if these parshios are merely Binyan HaMishkan, not parshios of Avoda, why is it necessary for the Torah to tell us these various elements? And if one, for example, should argue, well, look, the Torah is introducing us to all the Kalim, and therefore simply it's necessary to tell us its purpose, a further question. In Parshas Tetzav, the Torah tells us you're obligated to build the Mizbeach, and what do you do with it? You offer the Karban Tamid. That seems even more difficult. There are many Karbanos, as you know, that you offer Agabi HaMizbeach. Why is it that the Torah has to mention Karbanos at all, and why is it more specifically that the Torah singles out the Karban Tamid? Perhaps the answer can be found as follows. The Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Truma that the Torah is going to describe the Tavnis HaMishkan, Tavnis Kokela, and then the Chein Tasu. And the Gemara writes in Shavuos and in Sanhedrin the following, that the Chein Tasu is Lidoros. This is not really the mitzvah of Binyan HaMishkan, but rather this is a mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam even comments, the Pasuk says, V'osuli Mikdash. Mikdash implies Lidoros, not merely the building of the Mishkan itself. Since that is the case, that these parshios are not merely Mishkan, but also refers to Binyan Beis HaBechira, the mitzvah of the Chein Tasu Lidoros, perhaps one could answer as follows. That very Gemara, Sanhedrin Tezayin, points out the following, that there is a marked difference between the Kalim in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, as opposed to the subsequent creation of clay HaMikdash. When it comes to the Kalim of Moshe Rabbeinu, there the Gemara tells us as follows, that Kol HaKalim Shasa Moshe, Meshicha Mekadshan. How is it that it was inherent Kedusha? How did it become infused with the necessary Kedusha Sakli? And the answer was the following, the Kalim were made, and then there was a mitzvah of Meshicha, the Shemen HaMishcha. When one anointed the Kalim with oil, at that point in time, it had the status of Klei HaMishkan. What about Mikan Ve'elech? What about in later generations when they didn't have the Shemen HaMishcha? Then the Gemara tells us the following, and that is Avodasa Mechanchasa. The Avoda itself was Mekadesh. It was Mechanech, the clay HaMikdash. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, use was not necessary in order to infuse Kedusha. It assumed the status of clay HaMishkan as a result of Meshicha. However, Mikan Ve'elach in the future, Avodasa Mechanchasa. If that is the case, then you understand very well. These parshios are not really addressing the issue of Avoda, but merely it tells us how it is that you make and you infuse Kedusha into the Kalim themselves. And therefore the Kiddush is as follows, that really there are two halachos of Avoda. Avoda is necessary as a mitzvah of Avoda, but Avoda is also necessary because of Avodasa Mechanchasa, that infuses Kedusha into the Kalim themselves. And that is why Avoda is mentioned, because that is this role of Avoda. The Torah is not telling us the mitzvah of Avoda, that we'll get to, but rather this is a mitzvah of Doros, and Mikan Ve'elech Avodosa Mechan Chasa.
But at 1 second before you do the Avoda with the Kalim, they're not ready to be used.
Right, so that occurs simultaneously. Right, that's going to happen. The first act of the Avoda would be Mekadesh the Kli, and that is what allows its use. All right, when it comes to Mashiach, it means that the Kli already has its status prior to Avoda. Here, the Boin Kecha, that the Avoda itself is the Mekadesh. So since there are these two elements, Avoda is a mitzvah, but also Avoda as a Mekadesh, you understand very well why it's mentioned in these different sections of our Torah. When it comes to Vayikra, the mitzvah of Avoda. When it comes, however, here to Mizbeach, for example, Parshas Tetzaveh, Avoda as Avodasa Mechan Chasa. Right, so it is true that the Torah will give us by example those cases of Avoda, not to tell us the mitzvah, but to tell us apparently this insight of Avodasa Mechan Chasa. So the Torah will mention it in certain cases, and even when it comes to the Mizbeach, there now you understand exactly why Korban Tumid is mentioned. Because the Mishnah tells us from Anachos, and that's Memtesh, that Ein Mechanchim Es HaMizbeach Ela B'Tumid. There's a mitzvah of Korbanos generally, but in order to be Mechanech, to be Mekadesh the Mizbeach, that you can only use the Korban Tumid. So you understand very well why the Torah tells us that build the Mizbeach and offer a Korban Tumid. That is a mitzvah. But because of Avodasa Mechan Chasa. In fact, Rabbi Yosef Engel, in the Vilni HaShas and Shabbos Nafkapalit, uses this to answer the known question, why was it necessary during Hanukkah to find the single Pach HaShemen? Of course, the Neish, that it lasted for many days, but why was it so critical to have a single Pach of Shemen that was Tahar? Doesn't the Gemara tell us in Yuman Dafav, Sanhedrin Daf Yabez, that Tum is either Hutra or Tum is Dechuya Betzibur? Seeming to indicate that bottom line, if all you have is Shemen Tameh, one can certainly go ahead and proceed with the mitzvah of Hadlakas and Eros. So why was it necessary? There are those that argue, Peyashua, for example, that it's true that technically speaking, Bavoda could have continued with Shemen Tameh, and if they wouldn't have found the Pach HaShemen, that is what would have happened. But the nes occurred that they found, they secured the Pach HaShemen that continued to burn, not to rely on any Dechia of Tuma Dechuya B'tzibur, but rather to fulfill the mitzvah in the most pristine fashion, in the form of Hidra Mitzvah, and perhaps that is why Chazal built Hidra Mitzvah specifically into the obligation of Ner Chanukah. It's an unusual to have an Ikar HaMitzvah, and Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Apparently the indicator is that here we commemorate that element of Hidra Mitzvah, which Pnei Yeshua suggests was part of the very basis of the mitzvah, and the mace of the Pach HaShemen. Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests the following interesting idea. There is a piece that Ran has in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel, in Chidushei Haran, where the Gemara is bothered by the following. When Bnei Yisrael first entered Eretz Yisrael, and they offered the initial Minchas HaOmer, they didn't have a chance as of yet to be able to plant and to sow and to reap and harvest. So therefore, where did the grains come from for the initial Minchas HaOmer? That's the kasha that the Gemara raises. The Ran is bothered by the following. Ideally, we try to secure Tfuah from Eretz Yisrael. But if you can't, Tfuah can even be brought from outside of Eretz Yisrael, even from Chutz La'aretz. So what was the difficulty the Gemara raises? Where was the Tfuah found? So the Ran writes the following answer, Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel, and that is, you have to realize, this was the first opportunity to offer the Minchas HaOmer. And it doesn't seem possible, the Ran writes, that the initial offering of the Omer will be done in a manner that is anything less than Mechatchila, the most beautiful way of fulfilling the mitzvah. And even though technically speaking it's right that at times, sometimes push comes to shove, one can fulfill the mitzvah in less than ideal conditions, we don't envision that the initial offering was done in that particular form. There's a comment that the Bali Atosus have as well in Parsha Shmini, where the Torah tells us, Vehine Saraf, that there was a carbon that was brought that was burnt. And Rashi comments that that was the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh, and it was burnt because of Tumah. And if you look at the Mikros Gedolos, the Das Kaim Bali Atosus poses the kasha against Rashi that why in fact should that be? After all, Tumah is in fact Hutter Dukhuya Bitzibur, and therefore a carbon that has a set time, a Sar Rosh Chodesh, can be brought even Bituma. So the Yosef Engel answers these questions as follows. It's true that sometimes that's the case, but when it came to the first act of Hadlaka Saneros, that was not merely the mitzvah of Hadlaka. That Hadlaka was Mekadesh, the menorah. The Hashem Noyim constructed a new menorah, and Avodasa Mechanchasa, the first Avodah would infuse Kedusha. Yosef Engel writes the following chiddush, that even though it's true, when it comes, for example, to the mitzvah of Avodah, then you can say that that can be fulfilled even b'tumah, tumah hutra, tumah dechuya b'tzibur, but to be mekadesh b'kli, avodasa mechanchasa, that requires shemen tahar, and that is why it was necessary to find a single pach shemen, and then the nace that subsequently occurred. During the days of the Niluim Parsha Shmini, Rabbi Yosef Engel writes the same. That's the time that they were mechanech, mekadesh, the Mishkan, and therefore hard to imagine that that was done b'toras tuma d'chuya or tuma hutra b'tzibur, just as the Ran writes, and one can't imagine that the initial offering of the Minchas Omer was done in anything less than ideal conditions. That's a fascinating possibility. That, Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, that even though technically speaking, sometimes there can be a kiyum mitzvah of avoda, but there is a higher standard, a higher threshold for avodasa mechanchasa. And those are two very different elements of avoda. It explains beautifully why avoda is not only found in subsequent parshios, but rather why in the parshios of binyan hamishkan, the Torah stresses the role of avoda itself. We mentioned in the previous year that even though there are various kelim in mikdash and beis hamikdash as well as mishkan, but nonetheless, the Aron has a unique role. The Aron, the Ramban pointed out, in Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, is not associated with any particular avoda. Every other one of the kelim is necessary for an avoda. When it comes, however, to the Aron, there is no avoda associated with the Aron itself. And therefore, the Ramban writes the halacha that Asiyas HaAron is a mitzvah. All other kelim is not a mitzvah, but rather a necessary precondition, a hechsher mitzvah. If you don't have the kli, you can't perform the avoda. The reason for shulchan is lechem apanim. The reason for mizbeach is hakrabas hakarbanos. The reason for aron, not because of any element of avoda, but rather the aron in and of itself is considered to be a mitzvah, and that's the chiddush the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvos. I will not count all other kelim, but v'osu aron, that certainly is considered to be a mitzvah. And one of the unique elements of aron is the role of the badei ha'aron. It wasn't unusual that poles were inserted in other kelim as well. You have that in the Mizbach HaZahav, the Mizbach HaKdores, the Shulchan. There are various kelim that have badim. But there's a difference between the badei ha'aron as opposed to the other badin. And that is evident in the Isra of Lo Yosurimenu, what the Gemara writes in Yuman, the Ayin Beis, that when it comes uniquely to the Aram, when the badim are affixed, when they are inserted, one is not allowed to remove the badei ha'aram. That was not true of other kelim. Even though other kelim had badim as well, one could remove them and reinsert them. Not true when it comes to the case of the Aram. It's very meduyak then, when it comes to the badim of the other kelim, the Torah says, why are the badim necessary? Very simply, to be able to transport it from place to place. So therefore, if the purpose of the badim were simply a means of being able to move the kli from one area to another, so in such a case, it is not necessarily an inherent part of the kli, and therefore there is no issue of lo yasuru mimenu. Not true when it comes to the aram. There, when the badim are inserted, once they are infixed, then the Torah tells us that that is considered to be forbidden. This begs the following question, because if I were to ask you, who is it who inserted the badei ha'aron, the answer is not so obvious. If you look in Parshas Vayakel, the Torah tells us explicitly, Vayaveyas ha'badim, that this was done by Bitzalel, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Posukei. And then the next Shabbos is Kriya Satorah. The Torah tells us something which is very different. In Perak Mem, Pasuk Yiches, the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu now erected the entire Mishkan. And then in Pasuk Chaf, the Torah says, Vayasim es Abadim, that Moshe Rabbeinu inserted the Badim in the Aron. And this is especially striking when, after all, the Torah tells us that there is an Isser of Vayasim Enu, that once the Badim are inserted, they can never be removed. And it seems as though the Torah tells us initially Bezalel, and then subsequently Moshe Rabbeinu. How is it that you account for that distinction? Even furthermore, I would add the following question, and that is that in Parshas Vayakel, Lamed Zayin Hey, the Torah tells us Bezalel inserted the body. For what purpose? The Torah says, Lasei Soso, in order to go ahead and to move the Aron. That is striking because that's not the purpose of the Badei Ha'aron. When it comes to Shar Kelim, that certainly is true. The need for the Badim is to move from place to place. But that is not the case when it comes to Badei Ha'aron. That's part of the Chetzer Shal Aron, so to speak. And therefore, that is inherent. There the Badim and Aron are inseparable. It's not just simply a tool, a means of transporting it from one place to another. Perhaps the answer is the following. You know that part of the unique role of the Aron is to house the Luchos. We discussed this in the previous year. The Torah tells us in Parshas Eked that Moshe Rabbeinu was told when you come down from Har Sinai that you're obligated to build an Aron, irrespective of the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMishkan, Asiyas Beis HaMikdash. But look, you have the Luchos. It's necessary to house the Luchos. In such a case, an Aron is necessary. Subsequently, there were two halachos of Aron. Not only did it house the luchos, but additionally, it was part of Klei HaMikdash. But initially, the very essence of Aron simply was to house the luchos. That was critical. It was necessary to have the luchos in the Aron, to the extent that one could argue that without luchos, you don't have an Aron. In fact, there's a fascinating analogy. The Gemara tells us in Yuman, Daf Chaf Aleph, that during the time of Bayis Sheni, much was missing in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the elements the Gemara mentions is the Urim V'Tumim. What exactly does that mean? That the Urim V'Tumim were missing in Bayis Sheni. So the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet Hilchos Beis HaBechira the following. It does not mean they were absent. It cannot be that the Urim V'Tumim were not present. After all, the Rambam writes, if that's true, that would mean that the Kohen Gadol is Mechusa Begadim. He can't do Avoda. He's lacking the necessary Bigdei Kohuna. So therefore, what does the Gemara mean that it was missing in Bayis Sheni? The Rambam writes, of course, it was present, but it didn't function. Whereas in earlier times, they could consult, and the Urim V'Tumim would respond. That was not true in the time of Bayis Sheni, and that's what the Gemara means, that that element of Urim V'Tumim was missing. And the Rai that objects, and the Rai that writes, since when do we see that the Urim V'Tumim are part of Bigdei Kohuna? There are only 8 Bigdei Kohuna. There are not 9 Bigdei Kohuna. The Ravid writes that Urim V'Tumim are not part of Bigdei Kohuna. And very literally, they were missing in the time of Bayis Sheni. So fast to me, Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Kohen Gadol is Mechusir Bigadim, if he fails to have the Urim V'Tumim. Isn't the Ravid right? There are 8 Bigdei Kohuna. Urim V'Tumim is not among them. In fact, it's mentioned separately, aside from Bigdei Kohuna. So if that is true, how can the Rambam say Mechusar Begadim? The answer according to the Rambam is simply this. The Rambam knows there are 8 Bigdei Kohuna. But one of them is the Choshen. And what is the purpose of the Choshen? The Torah tells us that you construct the Choshen, and then V'nasatan, you place in it the Urim V'Tumim. The Rambam understood that the Choshen is for the purpose of housing the Urim V'Tumim. And without the Urim V'Tumim, you don't have the Choshen, and therefore the Kohen Gadol is Mechusar Begadim. What is the Rambam's analogy? The Rambam would argue as follows, that the Luchos are to the Aron as the Urim V'Tumim are to the Choshen. You can't have an Aron, a box, right, without the Luchos. The Luchos are necessary for the Kedushas Aron. The Rambam assumed that that was also true of the relationship between the Urim V'Tumim and the Choshen. And there the Ravid writes that no, that would not be the case. Aron Luchos, you understand, the entire purpose of the Aron is simply to house the Luchos, but that is not true of the Urim Vitzurim and the Choshen. You can have a Choshen without Urim Vitzurim. That was the case in Bayis Sheni. In fact, there's a fascinating comment, Drosha Saran and Drosha Gimel, where the Ran is bothered by the following. And the Ran writes exactly, is the Raivit. Barachav is Somach Belibo. Because Aaron HaTzadik was so happy, right, when Moshe Rabbein was appointed to be the Mekabel HaTorah, the Manig of Klal Yisrael, and didn't exhibit any sense of jealousy at all, Barachav is Somach Belibo, so therefore Aaron was Zochet to the Urim Vitumim. Barachav is Somach Belibo, the Urim Vitumim that are worn al Halev. The Ran is bothered by the following. It doesn't say that because of that, the Aaron HaKohen was zochet to the Kohuna, to be the Kohen Gadol, but rather he was zochet to the Urim Vitumim. As though one could indicate that you could be the Kohen Gadol without Urim Vitumim. And the Ran writes exactly that point. That Aaron, of course, was designated to be the Kohen Gadol, but one certainly could have envisioned that Moshe Rabbeinu would bear the Urim Vitumim, and Moshe Rabbeinu would consult, the Urim Vitumim would respond. It is not obvious that Urim Vitumim goes hand in hand with Kohen Gadol. And that's the separate schluss that the Midrash writes, the Racha v'Samach Belibo, that Aaron HaKohen was Zochet, in addition to Kohen Gadol, also to be the one who would bear the Urim Vitumim. I like to characterize it, that this is not an inherent part of the Choshen, but rather this is a separate parsha entirely, and therefore it is not considered to be part of the big day kuna themselves. So fascinating machlokas, Rambam Raizen, what is the relationship of Urim Vitumim and Choshen? But Aron and Luchos is clear. The Mishnah Chacham, for example, asks a simple question. At the time of Bayis Sheni, we know that the Aron was either outside the Makom Mikdash, or at least it wasn't in the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Rambam describes in Perek Dalet Beis Habechira, Shlomo Melech built underground chambers to house the Aron at the time of the Churban, and the Rambam writes, and that is where the Aron is even today. But clearly, the Aron was not found in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a very simple issue. It wasn't unusual. The Mishnayos discuss having duplicate kelim. If something would happen to one, he's the other. Why wasn't it possible to have an additional Aron? The Aron was Golos, so create a new Aron. You didn't have a menorah in the time of the Chashmonaim, they made a new menorah. Why can that not be done when it comes to the Aron? And the obvious answer is the following. You can't have an Aron without the Luchos. The purpose of Aron is to house the Luchos, to create the shell. Without the Luchos does not have a Kedushas HaAron. That is something which is critical. If that's true, the fact that the Luchos and the Aron are inseparable, the Kedushas HaAron is dependent on the Luchos, perhaps one could suggest the following. You mentioned that the Issur of Lo Yasurim, and it does not apply to Shulchan, it doesn't apply to the Mizbeach, it uniquely applies to the Aron. It doesn't apply to Shar Kelim. Only when you have the status of the Aron, that's when there is an Issur of Lo Yasuru Yimenu. It's true, B'Tzalel forged and created the Aron. But yet, it is only in next Shabbos' Parsha, where the Torah tells us there in Perek Mem, first in Pasuk Yilches, that Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu then placed the Luchos in the Aron. At that moment, that is when it had a Kedushas HaAron. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu reinserted the Badim. That's when you have the Kedushas HaAron. That's when the Badim were placed on Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is when there was an Israel Lo Yasurimenu. Up until that point, it didn't have a Kedushas HaAron. And if there is no Israel Lo Yasurimenu, when it comes to Shar Kelim, Shulchan Mizveach, it didn't apply to the Aron without the Luchos. Why then was it necessary for Bezalel to place the Badrim in it all? Maybe that's exactly why the Pasuk says, in Lamed Zayin Hei, Lasei So-So. Simply to be able to move from one area to another, you had to have Badrim, but it didn't have the status of Chepsi Shal Aron of Badrim Ha'aron at that particular time. And perhaps that's how you can understand that apparent difficulty. Who is it that inserted the Aron? And perhaps it was done in two different stages. Bezalel Lasei, then Moshe Rabbeinu placed the Luchos at that time a Kedushas HaAron. That's when we assume that there was an Isra of Lo Yaseimenu. The Medrash Rabbah writes the beautiful comment that the purpose of the Badim is not simply to transport the Aron. After all, the Aron was no seyes no so. The Aron used to carry those who it looked as though were bearing the Aron. But rather, the purpose the Medrash writes is because the Aron represents the Kedushas HaTorah, Oskei BaTorah, and the Badim represent the Machzikei Torah, the Medrash Rabbah writes, and therefore the role of those two are inseparable, not merely at times, lasei so-so, but rather in order to create that unity, that fusion of the Badei Aron together with the Luchos, therefore there is an Isra of Lo Yaseimenu. So perhaps that's a further indicator of the uniqueness of the Aron, not simply as a mitzvah, that is true as the Ramban writes, but it is not associated with a particular avoda, and perhaps the uniqueness that its purpose is to house the luchos and the purpose of the badim as well. There are many different aspects of the kedushas ha'aron. In fact, if the aron is not associated with any particular avoda, why is it the aron was so critical? Very simply as follows. The Ramban describes that the purpose of the Mishkan was a base hashchina, to preserve, to capture Basras hashchina. It was present at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore, that was the role of the Aron. Not in terms of any particular avoda, but rather the Luchos, the Sefer Torah, the Aron served as a Mekadesh. In fact, the Kodesha commented, that Rambam that I mentioned, Paragdala Beis HaBechira, that in Bayesheni, it was clear, the Rambam tells you, that the Aron was present in the Makom HaMikdash, and the Rambam writes it is there today. Why is that necessary? It's clear that it's fascinating that the Aron is present, and Shlomanov built an underground chamber because he realized that there would be a time of Churban HaBayis. It's a fascinating Ha'ara, but doesn't have any import Lahalacha. Why is it critical that the Aron be present? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out this follows, that you know, you can have a Kedushas HaMikdash without a Mizbeach, without a Shulchan, without a Menorah, but if the purpose of the Aron is to house the Luchos, to house the Sefer Torah, and that is the basis of the Kedushas HaMishkan, so therefore one cannot envision a Mishkan or a Beis HaMikdash without the Aron Luchos. And therefore the Rambam tells us that you should realize this must have been the case even in Bayesheni as well. The Aron was gonos, that it wasn't the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but it was present in the Makom HaMikdash. After all, the Rambam writes, the Kedusha HaMikdash is Kidusha L'Shaiter, the Kidusha L'Sidlava. Why is that true? Because the Kedusha is Machmas HaShchina, V'HaShchina Eino B'Teila, V'Nalim Perek Vav, of Beis HaBechira. After all, the Kedusha emanates from the Hashras HaShchina, and that is exhibited in the Aron. And therefore, the purpose of the Aron is not Avoda, but the purpose of the Aron is to be Mekadesh, to lend a Kedushas HaMakom. So I should point out a fascinating parallel to what the Rambam writes regarding Beis HaKnesses. The Rambam seems to indicate that the status of Beis HaKnesses is lahalacha, as the Navi writes, a mikdash ma'at. One could have envisioned, and this is the view of the Ramban, for example, that the role of the Beis HaKnesses is simply a tool. It's a vehicle. Just like, for example, you have a lulav, you have tzitzis, tashmishei mitzvah, they facilitate the performance of a mitzvah. Maybe the same thing is true of Beis HaKnesses. It's a makom tefillah, talmud Torah, kriyas haTorah, and therefore it is a means, it is a tool, it's a vehicle. Tashmishei mitzvah. But the Rambam indicates that's not true. That the Beis HaKnesses has an inherent kedusha of a mikdash ma'ad. Why exactly is that true? Rav Soloveitchik stated that parallel. That just as Beis HaMikdash, Hashras HaShchina, the same thing is true when it comes to Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, and just as the Aron is critical for Kedushas HaMikdash, the Aron, the Sefer Torah, is critical also for Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Rav Soloveitchik would argue that if you have a room which is Miyuchad L'Tfilah, that they'll daven there regularly, but there is no Aron, there's no Sefer Torah, it doesn't have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses as Mikdash Ma'at is comparable to the case of Aron, Luchos, in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, and therefore its presence is Mekadesh. Because what exactly is the difference? between tashmishei mitzvah as opposed to tashmishei kedusha. Lulav, tzitzis on the one hand, tashmishei mitzvah. Technically speaking, when the mitzvah comes to an end, nizrakin. There's no mitzvah sakura. There's no geniza which is necessary. One technically could dispose of it. We don't do it in a degrading, in a debasing way, but it doesn't have inherent kedusha that continues even after the mitzvah can no longer be fulfilled. That certainly is not true when it comes to tashmishei kedusha, tefillin, mezuzah. It doesn't really have kedusha because of the mitzvah of tviyas ha-mezuzah hanachas tefillin, but rather it is tashmishei kedusha. When the tefillin is no longer fit for the purpose of a mitzvah, we don't assume that nizrakin, but rather nignazin, gniza, kfur is necessary. That's an indicator of tashmishei kedusha, not just simply tashmishei mitzvah. What is the difference between the two? Rav Soloveitchik explained, Rav Chaim Elozner writes this in Nefesh HaChaim as well, that Torah is the Mekadesh. And therefore as follows, when it comes to a lulav or tzitzis, it doesn't have any direct link to Ksav Shel Torah, to Parshiyos Shel Torah. Its Kedusha is defined in terms of ability to perform a mitzvah. When it comes to mezuzah or tefillin, its Kedusha is not a function of the mitzvah of Kviyas HaMezuzah, but rather the mezuzah in and of itself. It's Ksav Shel Torah. That itself is inherent Kedusha, and anything that services the mezuzah or the tefillin has the status of Tashmishei Kedusha. Not just simply tashmishei mitzvah. That is considered to be a basis of the kedusha itself. The Torah is mekadesh the makom mikdash. The Torah, the arna, is mekadesh beis hakneses, and therefore that is the status of inherent kedusha. And therefore its tone geniza. The same, no doubt, is true when it comes to kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael is not just simply because we have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah. But rather, perhaps that's the significance of that Gemara Nidan Daf Lamed, that each one of us is taught the Torah Hashem prior to birth, even though it is almost immediately forgotten. Why exactly is that the case? Because after all, the Torah is not simply to amass its knowledge, one forgets. A melus is necessary. But no, that is the Mekadesh. That creates a Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, that is the inseparable bond between Kedusha and Torah, and therefore part of our very creation is that process of Liman HaTorah itself that is considered to be a Mekadesh. Perhaps one could argue that the mitzvah daraisa of Kvura, of a Ben Yisrael, parallels Kvura Geniza when it comes to Tashmishei Kedusha, unlike cases of Tashmishei Mitzvah. That's an inseparable, inherent Kedusha. Not just simply that there's an opportunity to perform a mitzvah. Meis is chavshim in a mitzvah. But the Kedusha, nonetheless, is still in existence, and therefore, a mitzvah. Hakvura. And therefore, if that's true, that ultimately, that is considered to be part of the Mekadesh. True when it comes to Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to Beis HaKnesses, and evident in terms of Tzitzis, Tfilin, Kedushas Yisrael, that is considered to be the uniqueness. Torah is the Mekadesh, and that is the role of Aronim, the Beis HaMikdash. Not because of any particular Avoda, right, but as mentioned, that is considered to be the basis of Hashras HaShchina, which the Rambam writes is the foundation of the Kedushas HaMikdash, and therefore, even without any Avoda, even without the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam writes that a person will go in the Makom Mikdash today who is coming is Chayiv Kares, after all, because the Kedusha lingers, the Kedusha is Kishul HaShaita and Kishul HaSid Lava. When it comes, for example, to the cases of Binyan HaMishkan, the Torah so often stresses, as the Beis HaLevi highlights, Kasha Tziva Hashem. And that seems to indicate as follows, that especially when it comes to the role of Avodas HaMikdash, some form of matir, a mitzvah, license is necessary. A person cannot simply go ahead and decide to be Oved Hashem in any shape or form, but rather it always must be Kasha Tziva Hashem. The Beis HaLevi explains at length, based on the Medrash Tanchuma, the Kuzari, many other Makaros, that was the tragedy of the Chet HaEgel. It wasn't necessarily an overt act of Avodah Zarah, but rather it was misguided, mischanneled, Avodas Hashem, it could very well be that Knesset Yisrael expressed a legitimate need, that they had to have something that was more tangible in terms of Avodas Hashem, and that need, the Medrash Tanchuma writes, was accommodated by the Mishkan. But just because there is a need, even if one could argue the need is l'shem shamayim, it cannot translate itself into avoda unless there is a sivui Hashem. And perhaps that is the relationship between cheta engel and mishkan. In fact, the Ramban writes the very beginning of Parsha Shmini, that the Toras Konim writes, it's unusual, that at the time of the haskama shamishkan, it was necessary to bring an egel ben bakar. One would have thought at the time of the Hashkama Samishkan, that should be a time of Hakrava Sakarban, Karvitonda, as the Mishnah Shuas and Daf Yedalid, that whenever you have Mosifan Alair, Valhazara, it's necessary to offer Karban Tonda. And here an Egel Ben Bakar Lachatos is offered. In the Rabban, the beginning of Shmini Kosa Toras Konim, that tells us the following, that Yesh Biadecha Mitchila, Yesh Biadecha Lebesof, there was an initial chait, and that was the chait ha-egel. The kapara was the hakama samishkan, and in such a case you understand very well that at this moment it's necessary to bring the Egel Ben Bakar Lachatos. And what is the relationship of Egel Hazav to Mishkan? Perhaps it's exactly that point, the difference between the two. The mitzvah rabba v'akama samishkan as opposed to the grievous fate ha-egel is kasha tziva Hashem. That if it's licensed, if it's mandated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the mitzvah rabba. And if not, that is not the case at all. When it comes, for example, to Nadav and Avihu, Nadav and Avihu all of a sudden offered an eish zara at the time of hakama samishkan, the time of the miluim. That attempted to undermine the very essence of the Mishkan. If the Mishkan tells us that the Tzivui Hashem is critical in terms of elements of Avoda, and that is the difference between Egel Hazav and Hakamas HaMishkan, so now you imagine at that very time, Nadav Ravil L'Shem Shamayim attempted to offer an Eish Zara, that again was a fallback to Chet HaEgel, no longer distinguishing and requiring the Tzivui Hashem. After all, isn't that the Lashon HaPasuk? That Nadavil offered an Eish Zara, as the Torah tells us, Asher Lo Tzivosam, without the Tzivui Hashem. That is critical when it comes to Beis HaMikdash, critical when it comes to areas of Avoda. The Gemara often tells us this is not only true when it comes to Avodas HaKarbanos, and when it comes to Avodas HaMikdash, but even when it comes to aspects of Avoda generally, and especially when it comes to areas of Tefillah as well, that Tefillah as Avoda requires a model, requires license, in order to engage in proper Tefillah. The Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Lamed Gimel, that Ahu Denachis Kamei Rabbi Chanina, that there was a Shliach Tzibur, that davened in the presence of Rabbi Chanina, and instead of limiting the Sheva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel Gadol Gibor Nora, he went on to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many other ways. And when he finished the Shemon Esrei, Rabbi Chanina turned to him and said, Siyamtinhu Kula Shvacha Demare, have you exhausted every possible Sheva HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You added five other terms, and what about everything else? Im Lav Dam Yisra Moshe Rabbeinu. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu utilized these terms, Kel Gadol Gibor Nora, and it's not for the fact that the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the Gemara says, established this as part of Tefillah, we would have no right to be Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this fashion. And the Gemara continues and gives the following mashal, and that is you have a melech that amasses, right, a stunning collection of zahav, v'hayim mekalsano b'kesef, halo genayulo. And you praise the king, not for his gold, but rather for his silver, by definition. Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fall short of the mark. In the Ritzvah quotes, the Rambam of Varna Vulchin, the Ritzvah spot of that Gemara, Brachos, Naplam, and Gimel, that the Gemara did not see in that mashal that you praise the king for possessing this when he possesses much more. The difference was not a quantitative difference. The difference was, the Rambam writes, Kesev versus Zav. A qualitative difference. It's not just simply that our Shevach, right, falls short of the degree of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a difference in kind, kesev versus av, and therefore the difficulty of expressing proper shevach. What right do we have to do that? The answer is, Amrisa Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not creating new shevach. We're just echoing the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, of HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VaNora. And therefore the need, when it comes to Divrei Shevach, always to find a model, an example of such possible Shevach. Part of the Shevach we recite every day in Tefillah, of course, is Sukkah DeZimra. And we begin Sukkah DeZimra Baruch Shamar. What is it that we state in Baruch Shamar? As Baruch Shamar used to claim that Baruch Shamar is the Matir. Uveshirei David Adecha Nahalocha. What right do we have to engage in Shevach, in Shira? The answer is, we're not doing anything on our own. We're just simply echoing Uveshirei David Adecha Nahalocha. We are reciting the Tzukim, right, endowed with Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore, that is our Matir. That is our license. In fact, the Minhag HaGra was not to say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. And it's unclear why exactly was that the case. So Soloveitchik suggested, according to the Minhag Ashkenaz, the answer is the following. Mizmor Shir also is part of Shevach. And perhaps we shouldn't engage in such Divrei Shevach unless you have the Matir first of Baruch Shamar. And therefore only after Baruch Shamar, Uveshirei David Avdecha Nahalelcha, that's where we invoke Pirkei Tehillim. And perhaps, I've suggested, that was the state of the Gaon, not to say Mizmor Shir, not to say Pirkei Tehillim prior to Baruch Sha'amar. It's in line with that essence of that Tzivui Hashem, that is the basis of Avodah Sakarbanos and even Avodah Shebelaev. The Gemara Brachos Nefkochetz writes that this is also necessary when it comes to Minyan HaBrachos. Before Chazal established the number of brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, they had to find a model after which they could pattern that Shmoneh Esrei. And therefore the Gemara writes in Brachos Naf Chavches, and Hani Zayin, and Hani Tes, Yurches, Chavdalet on the Tainis, all of the brachos of the Shmoneh Esrei. What is the correspondence? The Gemara says, what is the matir? Where do you find in Tanakh such a tefillah? But they should point out that without a matir, without that model, you would not be able to render such Shmoneh Esrei. You know, the Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis, we have a certain challenge, Musaf, on Rosh Hashanah. If you would have asked me, the Shmoneh Esrei should have been 10 brachos. The first three, the last three. Malchus, Nechonos, and Shofros is 9. And what about Kedushas Hayom? You have to mention that today is Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, I would have argued a 10 brachos Shmoneh Esrei. And of course, you know, a 9 brachos Shmoneh Esrei. It's 3 days in Tanayim. Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis, how is it that you accommodate all 10 themes in 9 brachos? Our practice is to follow the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that we combine Malchios and Kedushas Hayom. We combine those two themes in a single bracha. So I should quote B'Shem Rav Chaim, that the Rambam doesn't place this halacha in the Yad HaChazak in the halachos. The Rambam just places this in the Nusach HaTfilah. When the Rambam tells you the Nusach of Musaf, you see that the Rambam is assuming like Rabbi Akiva, as we do, to combine Malchios and Kedushas Hayom. Rav Chaim suggested that you see from that that it's not the ikuva, but rather as a din lechatchila that combination. But one could envision the other days on Tanaim as well, other possibilities of combining brachos. But very simple question, why is it necessary to combine? The Gemara doesn't exactly tell us. What's wrong with the 10 brachos Shmoneh Esrei? And the answer of Soloveitchik pointed out was exactly that sugin brachos nafchokes, that hani tisha keneged mi. The Gemara says, the model of the Shmoneh Esrei for Musaf Rosh Hashanah is a 9 bracha Shmoneh Esrei. And as such, whatever you will combine, the bottom line is you can only allow for 9 brachos. And therefore, it's necessary to combine two different themes in a single bracha, Yisulas Rabbi Akiva, Kedusha Siyam together with the bracha of Malchus. But every Shmoneh Esrei, right, requires a matir, requires that sense of a tzivui, either an overt tzivui, or at least a model of an accepted tefillah in Tanakh that contain that number of askaros. That's a link between Avodas HaKarbanos and the case of tefillah itself. In fact, when you look in the Midrash, the very beginning of Parshas Pekudei, yeah, the Midrash Rabbah writes a fascinating issue, that Parshas Pekudei is a reference to the time of Churban HaBayis. After all, that Mishkan is mentioned twice. Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. Why is it repeated? The Midrash writes, because of the dual Churban that we experience. And the Midrash writes a beautiful Kiddush that the word Mishkan is Milashon Mashkan. It's a collateral. And therefore, what exactly does that mean? A person owes, for example, a certain debt, and he is unable or unwilling to pay, one can take, right, a mashkon, a collateral, from that individual. That's what the Midrash writes, the beginning of Pekudei, that Churban HaBayis is considered to be a gvias ha-mashkon. Isn't that what Tosus writes, the name of the Midrash, in Kedushin? That Shafa Charon Apo, Vayatze Eitz Biyuda, Kila Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chamasal Eitz and Vanan Shebehechol. Kadosh Baruch Hu let out Kaviyachol his wrath, not against Knesset Yisrael, but rather as a mashkon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Mikdash and allowed Knesset Yisrael to survive. And therefore, Mishkan is understood as a mashkon, that at times it is taken from us in lieu of a gviya sachos. And therefore, the Midrash writes, that's the reference to the time of Churban HaBayis, where in Churban HaBayis, no doubt, in the Shama farms Vaseinu, Davonos HaKabanos, right now, to a measure, is substituted by the Avodah Shebelev of Tefillah. So the very Midrash in the beginning of Pekudei tells us the following, that if you will count, right, all of the times in Pekudei that the Torah tells us, Kasher Tziva Hashem, in reference to the Mishkan, it totals 18 different Tzivuyim. And the Yerushalmi writes, the Yerushalmi in the very beginning of Tefillas HaShachar, that that is the source of Yirches Brachos, of Shemoneh Esrei. The Tzivui Hashem of Mishkan is the source of the Brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, especially of Parshas Pekudei, where the Torah is foretelling the time of the Churban and the primacy of Avodah Shebelev. That's where the Torah is stressing as a source of the structure of the Shemoneh Esrei based on the Tzivuyim of Avodas HaKarbanos. As the Rashi once suggested, that with this in mind, you could understand the Machlokas Pesilah Beis Shammai in different possible ways. The Sugyan Beis and Daf Yitzayim discusses the case of Yantif, which falls out on Shabbos. What does that Shemoneh Esrei look like? So Beis Shammai tells us you have an 8 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. First 3, last 3. And you have one bracha of Makadosh HaShabbos, and a second bracha of Makadosh Yisrael, V'Hazmanim. That the Kedusha Shabbos Yantif are independent, and they're acknowledged independently in separate brachos. And obviously we do not assume that way la'alacha, but rather is the view of Beis Hillel, a single bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim. One could understand the Shita of Beis Hillel in 2 very different ways. See, Beis Shammai is based on the following dual premise. Number one is that you should mention Shabbos and Yantif independently. Because even though it's Yantif Shechalios B'Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos and of Yantif don't fuse, but they're independent Kedushas. And therefore, A, they're mentioned independently. B, you mention them independently in separate brachos. And you allow for an 8 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. That Gemara Brachas Nachalches doesn't tell us any source for an 8 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. Why does Beis Hillel disagree? Is it more fundamental or is it more technical? A fundamental disagreement would be the following. We disagree and maintain when you have a Yantif that falls out on Shabbos, it's a single Kedusha. We don't view them as 2 distinct Kedushas, but rather as a single Kedushas Hayom. This coming Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Shechalios B'Shabbos, is that Rosh Chodesh Shabbos or is it B'Nishim Achas, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? Is it a single Kedusha Sayom? Interesting issue. If you look in Siman Kuf Pei Ches, the Torah quotes Rabbeinu Yechiel, that if a person forgets Yalav Yavod this coming Shabbos, he has to repeat Berachas HaMazon. Since when are you Chozer for Rosh Chodesh? No, Rosh Chodesh, you're Chozer, because there's no Chiyuv Suda. But what do you mean? That this Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh with a chiyuv suda, and therefore you forget, yalaviyavi, you're obligated to repeat the birchas hamazon. We view it as a fused kedusha. And the Tur disagrees with Yisun Halach like the Tur. That's not true. That one can split off Shabbos from Rosh Chodesh, and therefore you forget Ritzei, one is obligated to be chozer, you forget yalaviyavi, then you do not repeat the birchas hamazon. Touches on this issue. To what extent is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh a fused Kedusha? Rosh Chodesh with a Chiyuv Suda? To what extent do we assume that no, these are considered to be distinct elements of Kedusha? If you look in the very end of the Torah, Rabbi Nechiel brought a raya from Yom Kippur. Unclear what exactly the raya is. Vashem Shad Rabbi Nechiel, the raya is the following. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, what happens if a person forgets to mention Shabbos and Shemoneh Esrei? Obviously, you have to be chozer. You daven Shacharis, you daven Musaf, you don't mention Shabbos, you have to repeat. But what happens if a person, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos and forgets to mention Shabbos in Ne'ilah? That's Mefurash and Shulchan Aruch, that you're obligated to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. There, perhaps one could have argued Ne'ilah is not a function of Shabbos. Ne'ilah is a function of Tanis Sibur, the Kedushas Yom of Yom HaKippurim. And yet you see that the Azkar of Shabbos is the Ikuva when it comes to Tfilas Ne'ilah. What do you see from that? Rabbi Yechiel writes, a fused Kedusha. We don't decompartmentalize and split off the Kedusha of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yechiel's great Kiddush, that's also true when it comes to Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. We'll have to discuss this in a subsequent shir. Is that analogy necessarily muchach? What is true of Shabbos and Yom Kippur is true of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. The more distinct the Kedushas are, the more one could argue that they're independent. After all, the Rambam writes, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, is the real Kedusha Achas. Not only when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, if you have Yom Kippur which falls on a Friday or Sunday, in earlier times, you have Shal Pi Ariya, the Rambam writes that's the real Kedusha. This is a fascinating concept in Machlokes Teishu L'Rei Shammai. Why is it that we have one bracha when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? Is it because there's a fused Kedusha? Or maybe what I'm carrying, no. In principle, Beis Shammai is correct. The starting point would have been 8 brachos. Just like the starting point on Rosh Hashanah would have been 10 brachos. But we don't have a source for an 8 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. The source the Gemara quotes for a tefillah on Shabbos is a 7 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. And therefore, perhaps in principle, Beis Shammai would agree with Beis Shammai that you could have a fused Kedusha, or the Kedusha is distinct, but the bracha must be fused, because after all, you can't have an 8 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. These are two very different ways of understanding our halacha, the Shita of Beis Hillel. Why do we combine Shabbos and Yom Tov in the bracha of Kedusha Sayom? Does that indicate a fused Kedusha? Or simply no, it's like Rosh Hashanah, that in principle, we'd like to mention the Kedusha separately, but in practice, the Shemoneh Esrei must be a 7 bracha, therefore obligated to combine this type of Kedushas Hayom. All of this points the direction, as we mentioned, of that comment of Kasha Tziv Hashem. But just as when it comes to Avodas HaKabbalos, Tziv Hashem is critical in terms of that element of Avoda, the same is true when it comes to elements of Tefillah as well. And therefore in terms of Nusach HaTefillah, therefore in terms of Minyan HaBrachos, and many other examples, Chazal always sought a model after which they could pattern the tefillah, because after all, that every form of avodah shabalev has to be shameled kehalacha, just as is the case when it comes to avodah sakarbanos in the Beis Hamikdash.